What's up, everybody? We're back 2 days in a row. We're rolling. Once again, you know, we're here. And let's just dive right in, you know. Pleasantries aside, you know my name is Manuel. You know this is Stretch Goose Podcast. And you know I thank all of you for listening. And I know that you guys just keep liking, sharing, subscribing, and passing it on to your friends and doing all that good shit. And we'll just keep growing together. Here's a question that I have, though. Did anybody know that we have a tuberculosis outbreak in Kansas? Does anybody know that shit's going on right now? Dude, this happened back in January of 2024. This is a year ago. Okay, 67 confirmed cases of active tuberculosis, 79 cases of latent tuberculosis. Most of them are concentrated in Wandontae County, and a small number in Johnson County, both part of the Kansas City metro area. The outbreak is currently the largest documented tuberculosis outbreak in U.S. history. Since the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention started tracking cases in the 1950s. However, the CDC has noted that there have been larger outbreaks in the past, such as the homeless shelters of Georgia from 2015 to 2017. Health officials are working to contain the outbreak and have stated that the risk to the general public is very, very low. They are conducting contact tracing, free testing, treatments, all that good stuff. And the president has not made any statements or actions regarding the TB outbreak. However, he has sent health officials to the area to assist in those efforts. All of this information is off of ABC, Life Science, CJ Online, the Associated Press, the Topeka Capital Journal, and USA Today. Crazy what's happening out there. That is crazy, crazy, crazy. Now, obviously very low. Hopefully this isn't the apocalyptic thing that everybody keeps fearing, but, you know, what are you going to do? All right. Just be as safe as you can. Cover your mouth when you sneeze and cough. And if you feel like you're next to a chronic cougher, run. All right. See, like that, you run. All right. So this is from an ex account, Colin Rugg. Excuse me again. That was a sneeze. Nobody's in the studio but me, so it's all good. All right, so there's this woman from New York. Her name is Aniha Andrew Robinson. She's 33 years old. She married a Pakistani teenager, right? Of course, the parents rejected the whole thing. And, of course, she held a press conference. Very weird. And I want you to listen to the amazing press conference.
Saying he talked too much. That's it.
Yes, that's it. Yes, yes, I'm saying. Yeah, me take a yay baby basket.
Listen! You talk too much. It's not.
Come here, please come here.
Listen.
Please.
Be quiet. I'm not sitting down. My plan is to reconstruct this whole country, okay? I'm asking for 100K or more. I need 20K by this week, okay, in my pockets, in cash, okay? That's a demand to the government. The government is going to fix up these buildings, fix up the streets, and clean up these streets. It's ridiculous out here. I do not like it, okay? I would love for you guys to please understand that Pakistan is in need of new buses, new cabs, new cars. Please listen to what I'm saying. My name is Onija Ahmed. Please understand. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Okay.
Listen, I hope he's saying the right things, okay? Like I said, Pakistan needs to be reconstructed the right way. Do you hear me, guys? Make sure y'all get this on your camera. I'm married to Nidel Hamid. I'm Onija Hamid. We are moving to Dubai very soon. We're going to have our baby in Dubai. It's private. I'm Muslim, and it's against my religion to tell y'all my business. Have a nice day.
I'm not talking unless y'all giving me land and 2,000 or more every week. You hear me?
Yeah.
I'm getting my Pakistani passport and Pakistani ID. I'm getting it. Do y'all agree? Mind your business. What? Talk.
Tell me you have a Pakistani passport?
I'm getting one. Do you have one?
I have a Pakistani passport.
Oh, you do? Okay, good. Listen. I don't live here. I'm chilling.
Chilling here. Why are you not taking your flight?
It's none of your business. Now go home. Here. Take it.
What are you doing here?
Take it.
Not your place.
If you haven't fined him, what's your plan?
Back that up.
Oh.
Awesome. So we have a 33-year-old American woman. She is a person of color, if you want to get, accurate here. And she made a decision to marry a Pakistani teenager. The parents said, fuck that. And she is running around Pakistan demanding large sums of money, demanding the government clean up the streets, demanding transportation to Dubai. Like I know Americans are pushy, but this is amazing. This is beyond. I hopefully she did not get arrested, strangled, chopped to pieces, and thrown off into the ocean. I mean, it's pretty funny. I'm sorry. It's funny. I don't know. The quote unquote balls on this bitch. All right, guys. Van Jones was on a podcast, and he delivered probably the smartest thing ever out of a Democrat.
How the hell did Donald Trump figure out the mainstream media is the fringe and the fringe is now the mainstream? How the hell did Donald Trump figure out? I mean, Joe Rogan is obvious, right? Like, we knew the guy had a big audience. It's not like we were like stunned, but like, how the hell was he, the 78-year-old guy who doesn't even have a computer and still like writes handwritten notes, how did he become the guy who cracked the code on, to your point, running a cultural, I don't even want to say campaign, running
it was a movement. Look,
movement, heading a cultural movement versus a campaign.
Every one of your people knows Elon. Listen. Everybody keeps, I mean, the problem is you have a framework in your mind that how can Donald Trump? Guys, can we cut it out? Donald Trump is not an idiot. Donald Trump, let me just be very clear. Donald Trump is smarter than me, you, and all critics. You know why we know? Because he has the White House, the Senate, the House.
Totally agree.
Support, the popular vote. He has a massive media ecosystem bigger than the mainstream built around him and for him, and a religious fervor in a political movement around him. And his best buddy is the richest person in the history of the world, and the most relevant Kennedy is with him. This dude is a phenomenon. He is the most powerful human on Earth and in our lifetime. And we're still saying, well, how is this guy? We look like idiots to ordinary
people. You're totally right.
I completely agree. And that is why the Democrats continue to fail, because they are not taking Donald Trump seriously. Every single one of them is refusing to come to grips with the simple fact that he is pretty good at this. And until they do, this shit is just going to keep happening and keep happening and keep happening and keep happening. Now, Bernie Sanders did a little 2-minute PSA. And it was centered around Donald Trump's lawsuits against media companies. And I think ABC, I want to say it was ABC that paid out, or what is Stephanopoulos? Whatever Stephanopoulos works for, I believe it was ABC, paid out $15 million in a settlement over Stephanopoulos continuing to say he was a rapist when he was never actually convicted of rape. And this led to Bernie getting very concerned.
Point out something to you, and I hope people pay attention to this. A month or two ago, ABC television settled a lawsuit with Trump. I think it was for $15 million. He sued them for somebody having said something about it.
In the settlement, ABC agreeing to donate $15 million to Trump's presidential library, pay $1 million to his legal team, and add a statement to their article on the interview reading, ABC News and George Stephanopoulos regret statements regarding President Donald J. Trump made during the interview.
And then just the other day, the Wall Street Journal, I think, reported that Paramount, which is a huge media conglomerate, which among other holdings owns CBS, that Trump was suing 60 Minutes on CBS for how they edited a Kamala Harris interview during the campaign.
You know what? If you want me to, I will sue them. Should I?
Apparently, according to the report, Paramount is considering reaching some agreement with Trump.
If I become president, oh, do they have problems. They're going to have such problems.
I regard that as an incredibly dangerous precedent, both of those, ABC and CBS. Because if you have major media outlets succumbing to pressure from the Trump administration, what that will tell anybody is that the First Amendment in our country, which says, you know what, people have a right to express their own point of view. Yeah, networks are wrong all of the time. They're wrong about me, wrong about Trump. But if you use the power of government to intimidate networks, they're not going to do the big stories. They're not going to do the investigations. Why should they go out on a limb and tell you something if they're afraid about being sued by the Trump administration?
I understand President Trump is now promising even more defamation suits against news organizations.
That's right, Tom. Today he announced his intention to sue the Des Moines Register over a poll published in that newspaper just before the election showing that Kamala Harris was up 4 points.
I have so many problems with what Bernie is saying because it's like a contradiction or hypocritical, if you want to say that. Well, with the way the Democratic Party treated the media, they used their power in government to force Facebook, X, or Twitter at the time, to pull down content that they didn't see advantageous to them. And they did that consistently. And they filed their own lawsuits as well at various points throughout their control, in power. And they set the precedent. They started the ball rolling, if you will, with this entire deal about suing for inaccurate information. And of course, obviously, CNN is in danger of paying out another $100 million in a defamation suit for what they did in their slander. And then you got independent outlets, posting the wrong photo and getting tagged for it because it was an inaccurate reporting. And this stuff is going to go on and on. And now that the president is doing the same thing to the people that have done stuff to him in retaliation, or other people, using the same mechanisms that the Democrats used, he's fighting mad about it. And he's talking about how the First Amendment's at risk. And it's like, you started this shit, dude. All of you, every single one of the Democrats in government started this shit. And of course, they're going to have to own all of what's happening right now. And that's just the reality of it. Here's something that is happening. Adam Schiff, our favorite pain in the ass, is in the Senate. And what he is attempting to do is use a quote unquote whistleblower to push forth preliminary impeachment hearings in the Senate. And of course, new CIA director John Ratcliffe had a response to this bullshit.
I can tell you one thing that we've learned very clearly, and that is that the Inspector General for the intelligence community can provide no information about the contacts between the Hipsy majority and the whistleblower prior to his involvement. So the only way that we'll be able to get that information is from the Hipsy majority themselves. They are fact witnesses in the same investigation that they are now running. Nowhere else in the United States of America can you be both a fact witness and the prosecutor or investigation in anything, much less an investigation to remove a president from office. It's entirely inappropriate, and Chairman Schiff should be disqualified from running an investigation where his committee members or staff are fact witnesses about contact with the whistleblower and the whistleblower process.
So Adam Schiff's at it again. This fucking guy has started another investigation into the presidency. He's trying to avoid getting his own ass put in a ringer by Kash Patel. But this is not the first time he's done this. This is the third time that he has attempted to overthrow the sitting president of the United States. And we know that this isn't going to go anywhere, but it's just a simple fact that he is doing this, and he was completely full of shit the first two times with the Russia collusion evidence that he never produced, that he never even presented during the first impeachment hearing, down to the January 6th impeachment where he went ahead and said, he once again, I got evidence, I've got tapes, I've got this, I've got that, about the specifics and blah, blah, blah. And the shit never materialized because he didn't have it. And nobody has the balls to ask him if he has it and where is it. And I wish somebody actually would. He was censured from Congress for lying. And here he is again, attempting to be that asshole. And I don't know how he got elected into the Senate. I don't know whoever voted for this dude should be ashamed of themselves. They should own all the nonsense coming their way. They should be ashamed of themselves. This is utter nonsense and bullshit. So here's another Bernie Sanders clip. Now, I know I played some more Bernie already, but he's talking about the health of America. And I've talked about this before, but this is another one of those 2-minute deals. And I'm going to start this a little bit more about the 1-minute mark, because you'll get the idea where he's going with this.
And charging us 10 times more in some cases than the people in other countries. I have not heard the definitive answer I need that we're not going to pay the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. And one of the points I think that Mr. Kennedy made, which is right, healthcare is not just medical care. It's a lot more. talk about the food industry. We have held a hearing. Senator Cassidy and I held a hearing a couple of months ago where we made the point that the food industry is, in fact, poisoning our kids with addictive food that is leading to obesity, diabetes, heart conditions, etc. And I hope that our Congress and the White House will have the courage to take on a very powerful food industry and demand that the products that they sell our kids are, in fact, healthy and non-addictive. In many ways, what the food industry is doing today is what the tobacco industry did 50 or 60 years ago.
I've talked about this before, and I always find this statement hilarious. Bernie Sanders is in his 80s. He's been there for decades. A lot of these guys have been around for at least 40 years. Most of them were in Congress at some level when this all started. And what is amazing to me is they act as if it's the fault of the manufacturer. They are the ones that approved the FDA's handling of the situation. They are the ones that allowed the FDA to operate the way that it does. They are the ones that allowed these chemicals that are used for other things more dangerous than food to exist in food. These are the people that allowed this train to get going. These are the people that refused to stop the train because they were all getting lobbied and kickbacked, hand over fist in cash, taking it all the way to the bank so that, for example, Bernie can have more than one house to sleep in. Or some of these guys can get massive, massive contributions to their campaigns. And they would appoint one or two of these guys into their campaign at some level of responsibility. All of these guys were a part of this fucking gravy train. And now, all of a sudden, they're like, oh shit, this was a bad idea. We got to figure out how to stop those guys who have made billions of billions and billions of dollars, hand over fist, handed us hundreds of millions of dollars in contributions, lobbied the shit out of it. We got to figure out how to stop these fucking guys now. It's not my fault that I let them do this and get to the point where I now have to like act like I give a shit. It's all of these old farts in Congress own this. All of them do. And I can't fault the manufacturers for the production. They were given the green light. They were given the ability to produce this type of food that tricks the brain into wanting more. It is one of the things that occurred. And I get so tired of hearing these guys go, oh, we got to stop this. It's like, where the fuck were you 50 years ago when it started? Where were you when McDonald's and the Croc Boy was running around trying to push this chemically enhanced fucking bread down your throat? Where were you, Bernie? Where were you guys? It's like, don't play this bullshit game where you're like, oh my God, I didn't know. Of course you knew. Of course you knew. It's so off-putting and it drives me insane. It really does. Now, everybody likes to talk about Donald Trump's FEMA thing. He was talking about disbanding FEMA, possibly folding it into something. This is a video from Matt Von Swole, and it has to do with what is going on in Avery County with FEMA in Charlotte, and it's quite interesting. Let me just get this rolling here. It's roughly 3 minutes. We obviously probably won't play it all, but I just want you to get a sense of how bad FEMA actually is and what it is that they don't do. And they have done this with Hurricane Katrina. They've done this with past disasters in, you know, tornadoes and Florida hurricanes and all that. FEMA is a broken, idiotic agency. And here's an example.
On the armed guards and through the chain link fence.
Taxes it. Hard at work.
And you'll see what looks like a simple solution.
I wonder why they're sitting here and not with the family that needs it.
Almost 80 FEMA trailers shipped in from Alabama and Maryland that Aiden Lingerfelt, who works nearby, says haven't budged in months.
They came in, they've been sitting since.
He's far from the only one who shared those words. A WCNC Charlotte viewer emailed me a picture of these trailers and said they've been here since Thanksgiving. She wondered when the federal government was going to deliver them to the people of Western North Carolina. So we came up to Hickory, and during our visit, we ran into a FEMA spokesperson who told us the agency is moving trailers out of here all the time. The federal agency says it's placed 140 households in temporary units like these, has 49 trailers in Helene-impacted counties that are in the process of being installed, and has active work orders for another 18 trailers that will eventually be delivered to a combination of private and commercial sites. But it's not as seamless as the public would hope. County permitting requirements and weather delays have slowed down the process.
We got to get the victim in the home. And logistically, it has been tough. The weather has not cooperated at all, but that can't be an excuse.
Philip Barrier says 10 families in Avery County need trailers. And so far, FEMA has only delivered two.
And I hear about them being deployed every day. They're just not deployed to Avery County.
The county manager says as those families remain temporarily housed in hotels, FEMA has spent 2 weeks looking at a possible site where the agency could place several trailers. Finding the right location that's accessible continues to prove challenging. FEMA tells us it has partnered with 18 commercial parks and is working with 15 others.
Logistically, this is a very hard place to come and place a temporary shelter. For water and sewer purposes and the layout of the land. We're in the mountains. We're not flat.
Barrier says he and county leaders are doing all they can on their end. They need the federal government to do more.
We cannot accept this. This has been way too slow. We have got to do better.
FEMA says not every household impacted by Helene will need a trailer in the end. Some are living with family members. Others are housed in apartments or short-term rentals. The agency has stocked up at this staging area just to be over-prepared.
A lot of people could use them up there. Hopefully they get up there too.
But it's clear, some of these trailers are needed today. Instead, they're sitting in a parking lot in Hickory.
And there you have it, guys. FEMA, everything that they do is a slow, slogging lump of shit. How do you have 80 homes sitting at a fence on guard, a guarded fence, meant for these victims, and you only gave two out? Only two, and they've been there since Thanksgiving. And you're saying that is a logistical nightmare? Are you serious? Like, this is our tax dollars at work. We send billions of dollars in taxes, and they get chopped up and handed out to different agencies. And this is supposedly the one that coordinates federal assistance in disaster when disasters strike. This is the agency, and they can't even get fucking trailer homes to the victims. They can't even get them in. How is this possible? Guy. Anybody that disagrees with my irritation, by all means, comment down below. Tell me why I'm overreacting to this. Because in there, it says, in that clip, they're saying, yeah, man, I mean, we have logistical issues. Most of it's in the mountain ranges. Some of it is a permit issue. So this is just what you're looking at is really just an overstocked, spot in case we need more. Not everybody really needs them. Some that do, we have problems. This should not even be a fucking thing. There should not even be a thing. Paperwork is mind-boggling to me. These are temporary housing. Temporary housing. Why do we need to wait for a bunch of bullshit paperwork? It's not permanent housing. In my opinion, you should be able to put these down and get them hooked up and get them running. You shouldn't be waiting for a fucking permit. This shit should not be happening. This is a disaster. This is the same issue lies in what's happening with these fires up here in California. There should not be an 18-month backlog of bullshit. There should not be a 6-month backlog of bullshit. This site should be cleared and the fucking foundation should be poured within a week. You have what is called a disaster, an apocalypse, if you will. You have to get up and running. The fact that these guys love dragging shit out and making people suffer longer is insane to me. And this is one of the examples as to why Donald Trump is talking about FEMA getting kind of folded into other agencies or branched off into something else, because these fucking guys by themselves are pieces of shit. And that is how we end this episode. All you kids out there, thanks for jumping on. Like it, share it, subscribe to it, and I'll see you tomorrow. I want to break your soul into